We've been asked to read from John chapter 21, Gospel John chapter 21. While you're turning there, I thought it'd be easier if I make an announcement and explain something rather than try to have Paul do it. You're all familiar with Cheryl Long. That would be Tom Ferris's sister. It would be my son-in-law, Lester, that's married to my daughter, Sarah. It would be his mother. She is on hospice care. She's not been doing well lately, but it's really bad now, so I would ask you to remember the family. It's just a matter of time, apparently, from what I understand. And so there's, you know, Lester and Eric and Holly and Caleb, of course, James. So keep the family in your prayer. We're going to turn to John chapter 21. We're going to begin at verse 15. John 21:15, we're going to read down to verse 22. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. This is a fascinating portion of Scripture. You know, Jesus points out, Peter is the son of Jonas. And in the Hebrew mind, a son can be more than just an offspring. It's someone in the character. And so Peter actually comes to us in a character of Jonas. Jonah, you know, was sent to his worst enemies with a gospel message. And Peter, in Acts chapter 10, will be sent to his worst enemies, a Roman of the Romans at the house of Cornelius. They both were at Joppa. There's a lot of similarities here with the gospel being preached to the Gentiles, starting at Joppa with a servant of God. And of course, we see Peter coming, or here illustrated in the person of Jonah. And of course, what does it mean to feed? What was Jesus saying? Give them my word, give them my truth. And this is, of course, what Jonah did at Nineveh. This is what the apostles were required to do. This is what we, everyone who believes in Jesus, is required to do. Feed people with the truth of the word of God. We want to kneel for prayer at this time.
Just say again, before we begin the message this evening, I do appreciate the earnest prayers offered in behalf of these meetings, those that I hear and those that I don't. God hears them all. Also appreciate the obvious thought the choristers give to the message as they pick hymns. It's obvious that they are looking and thinking about at least what might be said from what's printed on the card. Subject to be given the message tonight is in the form of a question, Do you love me? It's a question that many people have day after day. Sometimes it's verbalized, sometimes it's not. But it's a question lots of people have. Wives have for husbands. It's a question husbands have for wives. It's a question lots of children even have for their parents, and parents for children. It's a question siblings have, and classmates have, and coworkers have, and it's a question fellow church members have. Do you love me? That's a question many people have for God. That's never been a question that I've had for God. I've taught and believed from as long as I can remember that God loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I just always believed it, took it for granted. And that's just the way it was. That's the way Jesus is. I have come to learn, as time has gone on, that that is really an amazing thing, that Jesus loves me. Because I've come to understand it's not because I'm such a lovable guy, but because it's of who he is. The Bible says in 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, God's love for us is not logical. It doesn't really make sense. He doesn't have anything we need. We can't add anything to him. There's no reason, really, that he should love us. He loves us because it's his nature to do so. God is love. On the other hand, our worship and love for him makes perfect sense. It's perfectly reasonable that we should love God. When we consider all that he has does for us day after day, does for us when we're totally unaware of it, even as we sleep, it's reasonable, it's right that we love God. It's what he deserves, what he expects, what he commanded his people in the old covenant to do. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's what he asked of his people in the old covenant. Did they do it? Somewhat. Some of them. Some of the time, but by and large, they really didn't do that great a job. The historical books, the prophetical books of the Old Testament are full of account after account and page after page of the unfaithfulness of God's people. How they turned away from him instead of turning toward him with love and service and obedience. Those pages are full of the prophets calling on the people back to God and reminding them of their responsibility to love and serve him. Years later, Jesus came on the scene. Jesus, the Son of God, who is love, came on the scene. He made himself as one of his creation, one of his creatures. And he joined humanity. And to put it mildly, he was not well received. For John 1:11 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. I heard a good Bible teacher many years ago say that's the saddest verse in the Bible. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But he came again, not because he was wanted, not because he was loved, but because of his love, he was needed. We needed a Savior, and he came because God loved his creatures. He loved us. He loved humanity. And he was the only one able to deal with the problem we have. And that problem is our sin separating us from him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 says that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God. Matthew 22, there's a paragraph or so there. It's one of the places where we read how Jesus is being asked, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And as we read these accounts, we understand that he wasn't being asked so that someone could understand the answer and really do something with it and apply it. He was being asked so that he could be drawn into a fray and be ensnared with his words and be part of a big debate and controversy. And many times when Jesus was asked questions, he answered with questions. He began at least his answer with questions. But when Jesus was asked, what is the great commandment in the law? He said plainly, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments, he said, hang all the law and the prophets. And so we see that loving God is what he deserved, what he commanded under the old covenant. And Jesus said the commandment to love God was the greatest of the commandments. Those who followed Jesus the closest and knew him the best declared their love for him and their loyalty to him. And those of us, even today, who count him as our Savior, and we ourselves as his followers, declare, do we not, that we love him. And we understand that he is worthy of our devotion and obedience and loyalty. We have this account of after Jesus was resurrected in John chapter 21. The disciples, some of them, had gone fishing. They had a good night of fishing. It was daybreak. They were coming to shore with their great catch of fish. They saw a man, and they recognized eventually that it was Jesus. And he was preparing some fish on a fire as they came to shore. And as they came there, we have this conversation at some point that morning that Jesus and Peter had together. It's an interesting and kind of intriguing conversation. You've no doubt heard sermons on it, heard it analyzed different ways and explained, and I might tell you nothing new, but it's an intriguing conversation to me. When Peter was asked by Jesus, do you love me? Second time, do you love me? And then the third time, do you love me? Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Suppose Jesus would come this evening and come to us before we leave, and he would walk up to any of us, and he would know whose son or daughter we are as well. And he would say, do you love me? What would we say? What would our answer be? We know that he asked this question of Peter three times. We know Peter denied him three times. There's probably some connection there. But let's think about what Jesus was really asking Peter. And then secondly, why? Why this question? Why ask, do you love me? What exactly was Jesus trying to get at when he asked the question, Jonas, or Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me? I believe he actually said, do you love me more than these, the first time. What did he mean by the these? As I said, they'd already had a great catch of fish. It says in verse 11, I believe it is there, that the net was full. They drew it to land, and it had 153. And they were great fishes. It was a great catch. Peter knew what it took to make a living on that lake fishing. And I'm suspecting that 153 great fishes looked like a pretty good day, pretty good income. And some have suggested, and maybe God was asking Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the income that these provide for you? I think that might be a question he might ask some of us sometimes. We get involved in our work, especially if we enjoy it. God is blessing and it's prosperous. It's easy. It's easy to get involved in those things. And God wants us to do what we do heartily and all that. But I think sometimes he might kind of draw us up and say, you love me more than these? You love me more than your income? You love me more than your hobby? You love me more than fill in the blank. Do you love me more than these? You know, I really think, though, that what Jesus was asking of Peter, when he said, do you love me more than these? There were other disciples around. And not too long before, the night before Jesus was betrayed, Peter was saying, in essence, I love you more than these guys. If they all betray you, I won't. Jesus said they all would. He said, I won't. No matter what, I won't. And I think what Peter was being asked by Jesus is, Peter, how is it now? Are you going to say you love me more than these guys over here? You know, I think Peter was a humble man on the shore of Galilee that morning. And I think Jesus was asking him a question that probed his heart to see if that pride and arrogance, confidence in himself was still there, or if he had changed a bit. You know, did he still claim to be superior in his devotion to Jesus than the other disciples as he had claimed to be that night? The first time he asked Peter this question, he used that word, do you love me, that word that indicates that perfect, ultimate, selfless, godlike love, that love described in 1 Corinthians 13, that love that gives even when it's not reciprocated, that love that gives totally and sacrificially even when it's not wanted. And when Peter responded and said, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. He used a different word. He used that word that means, you know, I cherish you. You're a great friend. I venerate you. You mean a lot to me, that phileo love. That's the word he used. And he said, well, feed my sheep. But then he said the second time to Peter, do you love me? And he used that same word for that God-like love. And Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And again, he used that word for, that phileo word, that was a step down, but I think a lot of you, and I love you like a brother, and I really venerate you. But he didn't claim to have a perfect love for God. But the third time, when Jesus asked Peter, son of Jonas, do you love me? It says that Peter was grieved because he asked him the third time, do you love me? Jesus, the third time, had used the same word that Peter had been using to reply. And it's like he was asking Peter, do you really love me even that much? And Peter was grieved. And again, he said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. He didn't boast. He didn't say, I have more love than anyone else. He didn't say, I have a perfect love. But he said, I love you. He wasn't claiming to have a pure, better, superior love than his fellows. But he's saying, Lord, you know I love you. More, he wasn't saying more than these anymore. You know I love you. And so, why? Why then did Jesus probe him with these questions about his loyalty and love for him? You know, Jesus could have asked him a lot of questions. He could have asked him, Peter, you have a reputation. There's been several times your mouth's been in gear when your mind was still in neutral. Have you learned to think before you talk? He could have asked him, Peter, do you think you really understand now the scriptures, how they reveal me? He could have asked him, have you learned your lesson, not to be so quick to talk, so boastful, so cocky, and so confident in yourself? He could have asked him, Peter, can I count on you now? Are you going to be loyal? Are you going to be faithful? He could have asked him all kinds of questions, but he just asked him this one question: do you love me? One thing we can be sure of, he wasn't being asked the question to get the answer. God the Father, God the Son, they don't ask questions to get information. They know the answers. They ask questions so we get the picture. For example, way back in the garden, you know what happened there when Adam and Eve did what God told them not to do? And when God came somehow in his presence to make himself known and was there in the garden where he normally met with them, and Adam wasn't there, Eve not with him. Adam, where are you? It wasn't because God didn't know where he was. It's because he wanted Adam to think about where he was. Not only where he was, but why he was there. And Adam got the picture. The answer was, over here, we're behind these bushes over here. But no, he knew what God was asking. He said, we're naked and we're ashamed. And so we hid. And then more questions came. Why, and so forth. And the questions God asked of Adam, the question God asks of Peter, the questions God asks of us are not so he knows, but so we know and we realize what's going on. You know, Peter had realized that, because as he was asked this question again and again by Jesus, "Do you love me?" He's saying, "Lord, you know. You know all things." He realized he was not hiding anything from God. Suppose again Jesus would come and ask us questions like of Peter. He could ask us lots of questions too. He could say, "How's it going with your devotions last week?" He said, "How's your prayer life?" He could say, "What was that you were looking at on the internet the other week or the other night?" Or he could say, "You know, where were you last Saturday night?" Or he could ask us all kinds of questions. But I'm thinking maybe as he looks with us, as he's described there in Revelation, as one having eyes like a flame of fire that see and pierce our hearts and souls, knows what we're thinking, knows the answer before we give it, he might just go to the bottom line like he did with Peter and say, "Do you love me?" You know, that's really the question. Because ultimately, the choices that we make and all those other things are an indication of our love for him or not. All the time and attention and energy that we give to so many things are governed ultimately by our love for God, by our walk with him, like we talked about last night. It all shows up in how we relate and interact with others, and how we connect and love God and those he brings across our path. Again, from 1 John 4, this time verses 20 and 21, we're told, "If a man say, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." It's only when we love the Lord like we should can we really love others like we should. If Peter was asked this question, "Do you love me?" by Jesus, because it's the guiding relationship of all of our lives. When we love the Lord as we should, not only do we love others, are we in a position or able to love others as we should, we're then in a position to be taught we're humble enough to receive, and then we're able to give, as Peter was told to do, feed my sheep, tend my sheep, share with others. That's what he was asked to do, and that's what we're asked to do. And if we get these things out of whack, it really messes things up. If we love others or things or resources or position or whatever it might be more than God, then it just gets everything out of whack and out of kelter. We start trusting in our own wisdom and our own strength, and our confidence is totally in the wrong place, unless our primary and our main focus is on God and we love him as we should. If our primary focus is on things ahead of God and others, then our priorities get all mixed up and out of whack. And so the question is, why Did Jesus ask Peter and us, do you love me? The reason is because it's the most important question that he could ask us. Do you love me? And that's the question each of us needs to answer. And I hope that there's none of us here that would say, like Peter, I love you more than anybody else. Yeah, I'm the best disciple you ever had. Have that attitude at all. I want to share some words from a hymn we sing sometimes. It's entitled, I Love Jesus. I just want to line two of the verses here. My Savior, I would learn to be more like the pattern laid for me. In thine own footsteps I would walk, and of thy loving kindness talk. Last verse, dear Jesus, or dear Savior, at thy feet I bow, and cast my sins before thee now. Oh, do thou hear my humble prayer. My guilt remove, my heart make fair. Do you love me? It's a question Jesus asks each of us tonight. What is your answer? If you've never committed your heart to the Lord, you know you should, you know he loves you. He's asking you, what's holding you back from loving me? We invite you to surrender your will to him tonight. Maybe you want to recommit your life to the Lord. You would appreciate the prayers of the church. Whatever, if you sense a need, stand till recognized as we sing, and just obey the Lord. What will we sing?
284.
284 in the black hymnal, brother in hymnal, 284.